Normally, after an election, it's important to count the votes. After Kenya's disputed election, the country has moved on to counting deaths. 600 people killed and displacement. 250,000 driven from their homes. In hopes of brokering an end to the crisis, former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan arrives today. Several hours before Annan was due to arrive, riot police fired tear gas at protesters in the capital. NPR's Ophebia Quist-Arton has this report from the slums of Nairobi.
Simon Kabiro, Eric Murillo.
A man stands on top of a vehicle shouting out a list of names. Hundreds of expectant, displaced Kenyans are jostling one another. They're camped outside Moi Air Force Base, across the street from one of Nairobi's biggest slums, Mathare. Many residents have fled or been chased out of the shantytown. Relief workers are handing out provisions, including runner beans and grey blankets against the cool Nairobi evenings and unseasonal rain. Among the displaced people desperate for assistance is Mary Akinyi Indar, a mother of five from Mathare slum. She's disappointed. Her name is not on the list. Yet she was forced from her shanty home by men with machetes barking threats. She didn't recognize them, she says. And some people with small children tried to resist, but the attackers brandished their machetes and some people got cut. Mary Akinyi Indar is a Luo, the same tribe as Kenya's opposition leader, Raila Odinga. He insists he's the rightful president, but was robbed of victory in a rigged election. Odinga is demanding a vote recount or a new election from scratch. The tense political standoff between Odinga and President Mwai Kibaki, a Kikuyu, has sparked weeks of ethnic bloodletting. It's allowed grievances over land and privilege, which date back decades, to resurface. Now rivals are using machetes, daggers, and bows and arrows to settle scores. Dozens of people have been burned alive in tribal violence. Add to that riot police cracking down on opposition supporters who've defied a ban on anti-government protest rallies. It's a murderous mix, and hundreds of people have been killed.
The way I see it, this is not really a political problem.
Joyce Oneko, a councillor, heads the aid agency Mothers and Sisters Africa.
The politics has just helped to bring things which were already there to the fore. So they've now actually had the opportunity to vent out the anger that they've been having.
She's organising the handing out of relief stocks near the slum. Joyce Oneko says the politicians are responsible because of the way they campaigned in the run-up to the elections.
I am blaming the politicians because when we were doing the campaign, it was very clear that the politicians were working on their own tribesmen. The Luos were campaigning for the Luos, the Kikuyus were campaigning for the Kikuyus, and it was very clear that where there was the Luo voters, their person got in because it was a Luo. So I am blaming this on the politicians, because if the politicians talked to their various followers and made them see that as Kenyans, we are all Kenyans, it is not about tribe, they will follow, because in this country, people do follow their leaders.
There's still a huge gulf between President Kibaki and Raila Odinga, his political rival, and the two men aren't talking. Since violence erupted in Kenya after the disputed election results were declared late last month, there's been a steady stream of international figures trying to calm the waters. The opposition has been demanding that former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan come help. The government says he's welcome, but has resisted any formal outside mediation, saying Kenya is not at war or even in crisis. Mary Akinyi Indar, the displaced Mathare slum dweller, says what she wants most is peace. No one doubts that Kofi Annan has a tough peace mediation mission ahead of him. Ophebia Quist-Arton, NPR News, Nairobi.